the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Wednesday night, that means Mike Fouché is here from the Daily Line. Made some news this week. Mike, good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Saw you in Robert Feeder's column. He's expanding to a Springfield bureau.
Yeah, we're adding
the Daily Line.
Bureau.
Talk about this.
We've got a new editor that's coming on. She's a former Associated Press reporter. She even had her own State House news service for a while. Ray Hodge, she's going to be starting on July 3rd. And then we're launching on July 17th. We're going to be doing the same old that we do here in Chicago, which is just the nitty gritty detail of all the stuff that's going on in Springfield. We're going to be building a team. We're very excited.
That's great, man.
This is going to be terrific. Yeah.
That's awesome. Perfect timing.
You know, actually, one of the things that's crazy is I was talking to an old Springfield hand who was telling me in the 90s, there were something like 40 something people in the State House press corps. And now there's like maybe 12.
Hmm.
So, you know, we're pretty excited to be adding to it.
Yeah, rebuild. I love it.
That's what we're all about.
Congratulations. They can find out all that info at dailyline.net.
TheDailyLine.net. You can go subscribe.
All right, let's talk Springfield. Today, surprising, we were kind of making jokes about it at the beginning of the news, but all eyes on Springfield and both sessions, the House and Senate, they gavel in. They make sure that the gavel works and they gavel out. What happened? I mean, they didn't even do a half day today.
No, I mean, well, the it's not as if there's a lot of stuff that they can discuss actually in the special session. In the special session, there's only one thing that they're there for, which is the budget. And the whole idea of having a special session is that you force all these legislators to be there and then you put more pressure on the leaders in order, you know, the idea is that all the rank and file legislators are there and they're complaining and grousing about, oh man, I got to be in Springfield. And so it puts pressure on the leaders in order to actually negotiate something and put something through. And that's really what's going on behind the scenes, is that there's a lot of negotiations that are going on with the budget, you know, a lot of griping and back and forth between people. And frankly, you know, every time I have a conversation with a legislator, they say, well, you know, check back with me in 2 hours, something will be completely different. Because things are moving, you know, pretty quickly.
It just seems to me with all of the, I mean, we set all eyes and let's talk optics. I mean, this idea that, you know, this is going to be one of these special sessions for the history books and we need to get this done. And all, I mean, national press is talking about this, Wall Street Journal. I mean, there's a lot going on. And then for not to recognize the optics that you can't even do a puppet show.
You know,
nobody just gavel out. It just seems to be, to me, it seems very tone deaf.
I don't think that, you know, this is part of the problem, which is that there is a massive difference between what it is that we, the media, are typically reporting and what it is that's actually happening. And there is a lot of behind-the-scenes kind of conversations. So just the other day, I was talking to a legislator who was telling me that he had a particular deal on some human services stuff that really made a big difference and that he, as a Democrat, was more likely to be interested in what the Republicans were offering. And so I said, oh, wow, that sounds really great. Sounds really positive. He said, well, you know, we'll see how it is in 24 hours. I could either be crying or laughing. You never know. And I think and I pressed him, will you give me some of the details on this? Tell me about it. He said, nope, because if I tell you, the whole deal will go flat. And nobody wants to know about it. So, you know, I think that this is going to be a very difficult. I think that in a lot of ways, the way the deal is going to come out is that it's going to be, we're going to hear all of a sudden something that's going to be offered and it's going to move very quickly when and if there is a deal.
Okay, I understand that because that's how Springfield has worked in the last couple of years. And it's also worked in this way that doesn't respect or seem to adhere to any sort of deadline in the way that they come and go. And it doesn't seem to matter because everything is now by decree and the way it's judged.
I think there is an enormous amount of pressure. Although, let's put it this way. Here in Chicago, we feel a lot more pressure because CPS is de facto bankrupt and we need state money in order to pay for it. We have a lot more attention to human services here in Chicago because we have a lot more poor people and people in need than other parts of the state. So, but in other parts of the state, you know, you're maybe not really necessarily paying attention to a lot of this stuff.
Right.
I mean, I think definitely south of I-80 and west of I-39, so the western part of the state and the southern part of the state, they just don't care about this stuff as much because it doesn't impact them. You know, you look around you're in Chicago, you look around, you see government at every turn, you know, the CTA, schools, police, you know, government is doing something everywhere you are in the city.
There's a direct correlation between the funding that comes from governmental agencies and our direct life of getting on a train or.
But, you know, you're standing somewhere in southern Illinois, whether it be Alma, Illinois or Ottawa or, you know, Peoria. You're not necessarily going to be intersecting with government a lot. Yeah, and so people, they don't really think about it.
We talked with Senator Berkman last night on the show and some others about this throughout the last couple of weeks, just about this anti-Chicago bias. And that, you know, Amanda Vinicky brought it up in the City Club that was just yesterday with Bill Daley and others there. This idea that there even is a political rhetoric, and you hear it from Governor Rauner when they use the word bailout. And others about the school system, that there seems to be more and more of a political opportunity to make it the state of Illinois versus the city of Chicago. And it's an old game. That's what Bill Daley said. He's like, this is not new. That's what they've been doing for years. But it seems like going into the special session with the leaders of both the House and Senate, the Democrats are from Chicago.
Right.
There's a CP, you know, talk about school funding. They want to bail out to their school district. I mean, there seems to be more and more rhetoric playing to this idea of the state of Illinois versus Chicago, which is a de facto Republican versus
Democrat. Well, it's always been true. I don't know that it's been Republican versus Democrat. I had a conversation with somebody in labor yesterday who was telling me, somebody from downstate in labor who was lamenting the fact that there's so little labor now in downstate. But he said, you know, back in the day, we hated you in Chicago, too. You know, I might have been a Democrat,
but
I still hated you.
Right.
You know, so the whole idea of downstate versus Chicago is not really a Republican versus Democratic thing. I think it's become that because downstate has become a lot more red than it is now. But it has nothing to do with Republican ideology. It has everything to do with people in downstate. They feel alienated from Chicago. Chicago is some kind of a weirdo place. The traffic is terrible. People, it smells. You know, people want to talk to you and, you know, you don't want to talk to them. And, hey, I'm just in my car.
And to say the bully type politicians who keep going to Springfield and saying, I know you gave us money for schools, but we're going to need more than your area, more than everybody else, because we're Chicago. We're Chicago.
Right. And but at the same time, there's a tension because people downstate and a Republican was saying this to me, too, the other day, which is that there's this tension between the fact that, well, you know, we really can't stand Chicago. What a pain in the ass. And yet it's the economic driver of the state.
Yeah.
You know, without Illinois, there still is a Chicago. Chicago still will exist.
Yeah.
Without Chicago, is there an Illinois? I mean, John Cass had this column today
about dissolving Illinois.
You know, let's dissolve Illinois. And he sort of had these arbitrary BS lines where he just kind of said, well, this will be Iowa and Indiana.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was an intriguing article.
And the thing is that, actually, you know, in a lot of ways, it's kind of true. Yeah. You know, I think that people downstate would be offended by that, actually, because they do feel like they're Illinois citizens rather than Indiana or Iowa. And my wife's family's from southern Indiana. I can tell you it's really different.
It's really different from southern
Illinois. You know,
so. Let's do this. Let's take a break. Mike Fouché from The Daily Line is in studio, as he is every Wednesday. We'll take a break. And then we got to come back and talk politics, pre-slating.
Pre-slating, right?
Which sounds gross.
Well, you know, sort of like pre-SATs.
Right, okay.
I don't know, you know.
Pre-slating.
Yeah, pre-slating.
Is on the docket. And some very interesting news about retiring Cook County Clerk David Orr.
Yeah, man.
This is brand new news that just came out this afternoon. Yeah. Mike Fouché here in studio. Stay with us. All right. Mike Fouché from The Daily Line in studio, as he is every Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We're talking Springfield. What do we expect? I mean, are they going to do the same thing tomorrow and Friday? And not probably not even Friday.
Until a deal is cut. You know, and actually I've spoken to more than a few people on both sides of the aisle. They're like, you know, I don't know if this is going to be the only special session. You know, it's supposed to be over June 30th. We just might have another in July and, you know, keep
just kidding. Now it's just going to be special session.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I know. Maybe we'll have like a thing where everybody gets locked in a room and then, you know, you can't come out.
Like what those called, like the panic room?
No bathroom.
Yeah. That's a great bit. We
you
should
know,
get
only like salted peanuts to eat.
We should get all the leadership to go in and try to figure out the the King Tut's tomb for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
In the panic room.
This is sort of related. One of my favorite things is in New Mexico, if there's a tie vote in an election, you have to decide it with a game of chance. And they usually do it by not flipping a coin, but card that you draw, and which card is the higher card.
Like war?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That is cool.
Yeah.
Government at work. All right, let's talk pre-slating. Cook County Democrats getting ready to slate their candidates for the, for the 2018 election season. The big news today, David Orr, long time, 39 years, Cook County clerk here, former mayor of Chicago.
Yep.
He decides to hang it up. He is not running for re-election. He's retiring from politics.
He's been in elected office since 1979.
Wow.
When he defeated, all right, you ready? Okay, old people, listen in. He defeated Esther Saperstein for alderman in 1979.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And before that, his buddy, Mike Kreloff, who is now the Northfield Township Committeeman, had run in 1975 against Esther, lost to Esther. David Orr had been Mike Kreloff's campaign manager, and then they decided to do it again, but they were going to flip. And so Mike became David's campaign manager in 1979. David Orr won. And, hey, you know, they're still buddies.
Somewhat history. I mean, he's done a lot of work here in Chicago for voting, for early voting. He's been a big part of the voting experience in Cook County for so many years. But even before that, I mean, as mayor, he was in for, I think the history is like
6 days.
Yeah, he was the guy who stepped in after Harold Washington died.
Yeah.
So a lot going on there. But
well, most importantly is that he ran the city council meeting that was very contentious, where the city council decided who was going to be the acting mayor. And it was, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I remember clearly there were huge crowds that ringed all of City Hall, and the meeting went late into the night, into midnight.
It's great. There's some footage on YouTube of them popping out with, what's his name? His daughter's Deb Mel.
Deb Mel's daughter, or Dick Mel.
Dick Mel popping, getting on
popping
the desk.
Popping up and yelling.
And
it was really David Orr's calm hand, and the fact that everyone thought that he was fair and balanced, that the whole thing didn't go into complete chaos.
Well, okay, so he's stepping down. He said he doesn't want to do it anymore. He's retiring after a great, illustrious career here in Cook County. What does that mean? I mean, the clerk position in any other county, this would be a big, deal. So what's it mean?
So everyone may remember that last November we voted on a referendum in Cook County that forced the Recorder of Deeds office and the clerk's office to merge. And that meant that the current Recorder of Deeds, Karen Yarbrough, she couldn't run again. Her term would end at 2020 and she would have nothing to do. Well, Karen announced maybe a month ago that she was going to run for clerk no matter what. She was going to run against David Orr.
Okay.
And so Karen Yarbrough is preparing to run. And so pre-slating for Cook County Democrats. So that means that weirdo term, pre-slating. Basically what it is that everyone comes to make speeches. It's an open hearing, an open forum. Governor candidates are there. It's all day.
That's today and tomorrow.
No,
or
tomorrow,
just tomorrow.
Tomorrow and Friday.
Tomorrow and Friday, right.
The good stuff is tomorrow. It's all judges on Friday. And
you get the public's open to go watch this?
Yeah, they could.
You said that with such confidence.
I mean, nobody's really going to do it. You know, but yeah, you could. You know, media goes.
I'll meet you down there.
Yeah, you want to go? We'll get some raisinettes.
That should be
we should give away
a contest. Who wants to go with Justin Mike to watch
Justin Mike
pre-slating?
I mean, you know, wow, that sounds
hot. We'll give you a 6-pack of Pepsi and you get to listen
to four minute
speeches.
Don't forget the Jujubes.
Yeah.
And so, all these different people are coming out. And Karen Yarbrough so far is the only one who said that she wants to run for clerk. Karen Yarbrough, she would end up, if she won, and I think she would have a pretty good chance of winning, if she won in 2018, she would become the clerk. But then in 2020, there's still a part of a term left. So that means the county board would have to appoint somebody to take her spot for the last 2 years. But the truth is, okay, now we're going to get really deep.
That's weird. So she could win, but then in 2 years, someone else has to come in?
Somebody has to do the remaining term.
Oh, I see. Because that will not, because you got to go up to whatever term it is.
Right.
I got it. Okay,
right.
Got it.
Even though it's
Silly me.
They're basically just merging the two offices.
Yeah, but they still have to wait it out, right?
Right. So you get somebody who gets to have a nice plush job for a couple of years and, you know, hang out. But really, okay, now what everyone's really talking about is that Karen Yarbrough really wants to be Illinois Secretary of State.
Mm. Jesse White has said
that he's running for reelect.
So I'm confused because I could have swore, and I remember doing carry out bits about Jesse White stepping down or not stepping down, but saying, I'm not going to run again. I'm going to retire. Right. So somewhere quietly in the last couple of months, he said, I'll do another one.
How old is he? He's 82 now. He's going to be 83 next year. And hey, guys, he's still doing headstands for the Jesse White Tumblers. All right. So honestly,
What do you make of Jesse White wanting to run for Secretary of State?
I think the real deal is that he is the most popular politician in Illinois. He's won by enormous margins. He wins Republican counties constantly. And really, the deal is that Democrats don't want to have another seat that they have to defend in this election. So get that off the table. You don't have to raise money for it. And that means that if a Democrat wins in 2018 for governor, then Jesse White could step down, and then the Democratic governor would appoint their replacement. And so the expectation is that if a Democrat wins for governor, Jesse White would step down, and there's a high likelihood that Karen Yarbrough would be seeking position.
I get the concept of politics, and it just sounds dirty. Like the idea that you would run with the hope that you could retire in 6 months after you're elected by the people.
Yeah.
It just seems disingenuous.
You know what, man?
I don't know. It's like one of the reasons we hate politics.
This has been going on forever.
I know, right?
In the 1850s, this is one of my favorites, David Ogilvie, he was governor of Illinois. And back in those days, the governor appointed the senator. He was sick of being governor. He had been governor for three terms.
He appointed himself senator.
And he became senator. So, you know, we've been doing this stuff forever.
So, hey, one can dream.
You know,
one can dream.
Right, I know. Be like Ogilvie,
the train station. Yeah. So that's going on tomorrow and Friday. And we will have a better understanding. We're not going to know who they're going to choose, especially when it comes to the governor,
August. They don't vote until August. They don't vote until August. And then, you know, candidates start passing their petitions in October.
How important is it for the Cook County Democratic Party do they slate a candidate? Is that essentially an endorsement?
Yeah, it is. It's a big deal for these county-wide offices. And this is something they started
doing. But I guess my question is about the governor. I'll tell you,
for the primary, it's a big deal. And one of the things the county party does is that they have this giant mailer that they do that has, these are all of our endorsed candidates. And it goes to every Democrat voting household in Cook County. That's a big spend. It's very expensive. And for a lot of people, it's the only real material that they get about who's running for office that they pay attention to. It says Cook County Democratic Party. Oh, yeah, I guess I'm Democrat. You know, I'll go for that. And so they look at that and they take that into the voting booth. It's a big deal.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me because it's obviously they slated. That's what they want, but it isn't necessary. It's really an endorsement. It's just an old school way of doing it, saying we've slated these candidates. Here they are. Vote for them. And people at home are like, these must be the only candidates to vote
for. These must be the people that I want to vote for.
So it's very important in the Chicago area and Cook County to get that endorsement.
Look, I mean, here's the thing is that the reason why parties and candidates, parties continue to exist and continue to do well is because of the, quote, low information voter. If you are not paying attention, if you're not looking to see who all the different candidates are, if you're not informing yourself on what the positions on everybody are, you are part of the problem. So get out there, you know, start looking at to see who all these candidates are and paying attention, because if you want to be able to make a good decision, you have to make it with the information that you gather for yourself, not that something that somebody else feeds to you.
Mike Fouché is the man behind Daily Line, thedailyline.net. You can check it out there. He's also got the podcast Aldercast, which is here on WGN Plus. Now the Springfield edition, which would be July 17th when that starts.
That's right. Stoked.
All right, look at that. You got a lot of stuff going on.
I know. We got busy people, man.
All right. Good. Thanks for being here, Mike.
Good to be here.
All right. Coming up, we are going to have Donica Lynn, Jeff award-winning actor, musician, mother and cancer survivor. She's going to be my guest at the big table. She's got a tremendous story. We're going to talk about it and also hear some live music. She brought a guitar player with her tonight, so we will talk with her. Also coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Def Leppard guitarist, Phil Cullen. How awesome is that?
Pour some sugar on me.
There it is.